WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
We're going to remember the actor Paul Winfield. He died of a heart attack Sunday at the age of 62. Winfield received an Academy Award nomination for his role as a sharecropper in the 1972 film Sounder. In the TV adaptation presented last year, Winfield co-starred in a different role. His other films include The Greatest, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, The Terminator, and Presumed Innocent. Some of his best roles were on television. Early in his career, from 1968 to 71, he played opposite Diane Carroll on the sitcom Julia. He won an Emmy nomination for his portrayal of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in the 1978 TV miniseries King, and was nominated again for his performance in Roots: The Next Generation. He won an Emmy in 1995 for his guest appearance as a judge on Picket Fences. I spoke with Paul Winfield in 1989 when he was co-starring on the TV series Wise Guy as a record company head and compulsive gambler. I asked him about his voice, which seemed like a voice that came out of classical theater.
Well, thank you. That's one of the major tools, but I don't have, I'm very envious of other actors' voices. I think a voice like James Earl Jones, who has that great resonance.
You don't think you have a great voice?
Well, it never, I don't like listening to it, I'll tell you that. It doesn't, I always feel that, well, one of the things I like working on the stage is because I really do then train, really working on my voice and the things you can get out of it. But I don't take lessons and do all the things I should be doing if I was if I was a better actor. But it's, but those are the, I mean, it's, truly, it's the words that you're dealing with in really great plays of Chekhov or Shakespeare, and you do more demands are made upon you and on your voice. But thank you very much. I'm glad somebody thinks so.
One of your first big breaks is when you were cast in The Dutchman by Leroy Jones, now Amiri Baraka, and his early plays were very radical, both in politics and in sensibility. Did that radicalism suit you at the time?
Well. Yes, it did. Although I had a lot of very white friends, I think they didn't really understand me, and particularly when we were doing that play, as you may or may not remember, the last scene of The Dutchman, the young black man, has this tremendously, like, five-page harangue about racial injustice, and he's going to cut her throat, and it don't push us too far, because there's always this right under the surface, all of this anger and rage and hatred. I mean, I thought I did that speech really well. And my white friends would come, and I said, well, what did you think of the place? Oh, it's just da-da-da-da-da. I said, yeah, but what do you think of that last scene? They said, what? Do you mean what last scene? I said, you know, with that long speech? They said, oh, gee, I don't remember very much about it. It sort of went over their heads, I guess. But I found it, it got a lot of things off my chest, anyway.
Well, did that affect your ability to get cast in other roles at the beginning? I'm just thinking that when you get the reputation as maybe being radical, some people won't come near you.
Well, no. I was, I think it sort of helped because I played an awful lot of angry black young men, which came right after that, which when Hollywood sort of like really sort of started paying attention when just the outskirts of their town was being burned down. They said, who are these people? So, I mean, I played a lot of radicals and what have you, but that was the Dutchman was very good training and preparation for that. I think generally, I guess actually, I really owe it all to Dr. King because before the Civil Rights Movement, I think in the South, most of white America, middle America, really didn't have much contact or really care very much about black people or really knew anything about them as if we really existed on the other side of the moon.
Well, you mentioned Martin Luther King. You played the role of King in a television miniseries.
Yeah.
That's it's like a big responsibility to play somebody like that.
Scared me to death, I tell you.
Well, go ahead.
It was awesome, and the more I was lucky enough to have about 4 months preparation, and a chance to talk to people who knew him and to travel around. And the more I found out about him, the scarier it got, because for one thing, I don't know how you really play an intellectual, which I think he truly was. I mean, the only time I saw him was at the Democratic Convention in Los Angeles here in the 60s, and I have to admit that I was not impressed by him. Adam Clayton Powell spoke. It was riveting. I mean, we stood to our feet. Then this sort of very short and sort of unassuming black man came up, spoke very quietly, but also with a southern accent. And being, I guess, from the West and sort of, I thought, sophisticated, he just didn't take people with southern accents very seriously. I mean, I think if Einstein had came in and said, "Well, I just discovered the theory of relativity," you know, that nobody would take him seriously. So, I mean, it was, but as I got older and certainly learned more about Dr. King and about the, it certainly changed my life, and also just a response of people who had met him.
You mentioned how there was a time when you didn't take people with southern accents that seriously. And I'm thinking about the movie Sounder, where you played a man from the rural South in 1933 during the Depression.
Yeah.
Was that a difficult role for you to take on, since you were from the city? You're from Watson.
That was my first time in the South, and it was also quite an awakening for me.
Uh-huh. Well,
it's the accents were. I mean, you don't. The accent wasn't hard, and we all sort of softened it up anyway. Just wanted to make them basically human beings. But the South at that time was truly a revelation for me, and it was you'd go by these enormous, beautiful plantations, and some you could even get inside, and you'd see the wonderful craftsmen and the wonderful, truly stylish, luxurious style of living that they obviously enjoyed, and you couldn't help but appreciate it. I mean, beauty is beauty, craftsmanship is craftsmanship. And then you go in the back where the slave quarters were, who made all of this possible. And as a young black man, it's sort of hard to describe, but it stays with me quite a bit.
Paul Winfield recorded in 1989. He died of a heart attack Sunday at the age of 62.